It's the Longhorn Game Day post-game show. Here are your hosts, Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner.
Welcome to the Texas post-game show here on the Austin Radio Network. We are at Pluckers, the Link location, 290 and I-35. If you'd like to stop by, as we're still watching some football right now, Texas Tech and Baylor and A&M and Alabama. Alabama with a 17-point lead. Looks like they're going to add to that. Kevin Dunn here, Rod Babers. Brian Fitzgerald is back at the Horn Studio. He'll be taking your calls, 447-3776, 512-447-3776. If you want to text us, you can do that at 337-3776. Got to give a shout-out to Patrick here,
who is Patrick.
Been holding down the fort here. He knows exactly how deflated this place was.
Oh,
and Rod, first off, let's give credit to Oklahoma, because last year Texas was the more physical team, and Lincoln Riley talked about that. We knew that Mike Stoops was an S-show as a defensive coordinator. Oklahoma couldn't line up pre-snap last year. That's not hyperbole. No. Go back and watch it.
Yeah.
They were lining up. They were twisting. They were stunning. 9 sacks against this Texas offensive line that I'll be the first to say all year long, and a lot of this is a shot maybe at other offensive lines, but it's the best one I've seen since 2006. It's not as good as 2006, but it shows you how long it's been. Texas has come a long way. They're certainly not there yet, and this game's kind of a wake-up call.
Yeah, it's more than a wake-up call. If you want to, the two things that I think are your biggest takeaways that Longhorn fans are probably, and I'm going to harp on for the next week until you play Kansas. Offensively, you're right. The offensive line, I mean, they didn't have a Ndamukong Suh. That was the last time I can remember a Texas offensive line allowing 9 sacks. Maybe it was that Big 12 title game, right?
And they won 22-20.
And that was a really good defensive front. I believe those 9 sacks are spread out, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, we'll have to go examine the box score and everything and watch the game again tonight and break it down. Those 9 sacks spread out over, I believe, 7 different guys. One was a team sack, so that's 8, and Gallimore had 2 sacks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just one guy, man. It was everybody got in on that part. It ain't no fun if my homies can't have none. Everybody was in on that. It was like
meet at the quarterback.
Yes, and it was all the twists and the stunts and I'm on a text message with a lot of guys, and they were just recognizing the stunts up front and the twists up front, and Texas could never really figure it out. That offensive line, I got to tell you, it surprised me how bad they were. They allowed 18 tackles for loss, too, by the way. So
right.
9 tackles.
Yeah.
So
9
even the running game, of course, that didn't work a lot of times. The only thing that worked offensively consistently was Rashawn Johnson.
Yeah.
That young man came to play. Everybody else, I mean, that, pretty much. I mean, even a lot of drop passes.
Drop passes. I mean, another perfect onside kick by Cameron Dicker. I'm not sure Brendan Eagles would have caught it if he would have got there.
That's a great point.
It was that type of day where they were not catching stuff.
That guy, Dicker, he's got a great onside kick.
But it was that close, and the game should not have been. It probably easily could have been 24-3
at
the half.
Yeah.
Rod, they were more physical, and they outcoached Texas in both of them. Alex Grinch, who I've been talking about for a long time, he, typical 3-3-5. He was stunting and twisting,
moving
doing
around,
the same
man.
Thing. It's all about tackling in the secondary, something Oklahoma did this year that they didn't do last year, and something that Texas, for the most part, did last year that could not do this year. And I'm going to get your
Texas
thoughts on that.
Texas kind of looked like Oklahoma's defense last year a little bit.
They kind of didn't they?
It looked disoriented.
But Grinch, I didn't think Grinch was going to be able to come in this quickly. And you knew there was some talent up front with Perkins, and Gallimore has gotten in shape, and that was
a tough
matchup for Shackelford. We saw Ongalau at times, again, 2 weeks in a row, get blown up. But, Rod, you know this better than I do. You can twist and stunt your way into plays and out of plays.
Right.
It felt like every time it was
it was going exactly to the right place, and they were very effective. I don't think Cosme played a bad game. He probably maybe the only solid one on that offensive line. But offensively, even the opening script, you talked about the coaching and being outcoached. The opening script was not, great for Tom Herman and company. I mean, they started slow. That offense stalled in the first half. There was no spark, really. I thought they were saving some wrinkles or something. I didn't see anything that I guess that we hadn't seen from this offense, but we didn't have the effectiveness and the efficiency of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I thought it was a very bland game plan, yeah. And I thought they'd been going vanilla, saving stuff up, and I didn't like it. Texas was outcoached. Tom Herman got outcoached by Alex Grinch. You can say Tom Herman and Tim Beck and, hell, throw Fedora, yeah. Whoever the game plan, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's Tom Herman. But then Todd Orlando got outcoached by Lincoln Riley.
No question about it.
Was more physical.
And see, and going back to your point that I think you combine them, you know, there's not much you can do when your offensive line is playing that bad.
Yeah. Right?
When they can't block anybody to give Sam time, there's not much.
And
I don't know what you can call.
This fan base knows that after the last 5-7 years.
Right, and you couldn't reset the line of scrimmage. You couldn't move guys around, so the running game wasn't consistently working either. So, yeah, I mean, that limits your playbook. Like, what can you really call that can be effective? On the other side, totally agree with you about Lincoln Riley out-coaching Todd Orlando. And honestly, yes, he was out-coached, but the missed tackles when you actually are there to make the play. I'm being conservative. I think they missed 30 tackles. I haven't counted. I bet they missed 30 tackles. I bet when I go back and count.
I think you were one off.
I bet
on
they
Oklahoma
missed 30.
State last year, and I was surprised. I was like, man, yeah. Rod just has a natural, real time eye for that. So
then,
you may be right.
Yeah,
I mean, it felt like that.
I'll go back and count it, man, because they missed 20 versus Oklahoma State this year. They missed 26 last year versus Oklahoma State. I guarantee they missed 30 tackles in that game. And Brandon Jones. I mean, I saw guys that Brandon Jones, Chris Brown, guys that had been really reliable in the open field.
Yeah.
I mean, they just looked like freshmen out there. It really. CeeDee Lamb he looked like Randy Moss at times. It was amazing.
He was the best player on the field.
I'll give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit.
But honestly, Jalen Hurts to me is still he's not proven anything as a passer.
He's some bad decisions.
Kellen Mond, yeah. Alex Hornibrook loft passes
in the red zone
that are schemed open. He had the two turnovers. He's a very elusive runner. I mean, everything we knew about him
He is what we thought he was. Yeah, well, he's that guy. We know.
Different was the Oklahoma defense, their physicality. They were the more physical team in this game. And Texas even lost this game a couple years ago being the more physical team. And Oklahoma fans kind of had to admit that.
Yeah.
This is a really good turn, obviously, if you're a Sooner fan, the fact that Alex Grinch has these guys playing
played. We didn't think they'd play.
So, yeah,
we thought
there's
one of everybody's kind of big points was, if those tackles don't play, we're going to definitely win the line of scrimmage. They played, and you're right. They won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That was Texas actually won the turnover margin. Turnovers didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Now, I gotta say, they didn't matter because they were in the red zone. So
yeah.
You probably could have been out of the game quickly if you didn't get that early turnover in the red zone. But, man, they didn't seem like they were significant enough to turn the tide or give you any momentum.
No.
They seemed almost wasted. You know what I mean?
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
They felt wasted. That's a good way to put it. And I want to say the left tackle, Eric Swinson, but I guess I should really say the right tackle because as many counters as they run, you talked about it all week long.
Man,
we talked about it. They run more counters than anyone.
Yeah.
And Texas, with the CeeDee Lamb jet sweep action and then Hurts at the very end up the middle, they really spread this defense out. And Lincoln did a job.
He did. You just said it right. What he does is he basically
– He fans you out.
Yes, and he puts in these little deception kind of tactics within the offense. Remember the Jalen Hurts touchdown late where both backs go separate directions?
And boom.
And then he just goes –
Right
and you're
up
like,
the middle.
And you're like, my girl's like, that's a big hole. And I was like, yeah, but
– And they blocked that specifically for that. That wasn't even a read. If you look at the center and the guard, they were sealing for that.
He's been watching Todd Orlando's linebackers and their keys and going,
they got
okay.
Worked. Coaching staff got work.
Yeah, well, and, I've never even really seen that before. I mean, that's just very creative, you know what I mean, to attack linebackers, certain keys or whatever they're keying down there. So, Lincoln Riley's a hell of a coach. I mean, period. You're right.
He is, and we knew that, and I've known Grinch is a hell of a coach. I mean, everything he did today, I saw him do that really the second to last year at Washington State, and I don't know if he ever really got his imprint in the short time he was in Columbus as a co-DC, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of twists. It's a lot of stunts. Offensive line, which is wrong there?
It's very Manny Diaz-ish.
There's a lot of Manny Diaz.
Right? And it looked like, remember
Except
those twists?
Tackle. No, I'm sorry.
Well, remember Manny Diaz?
I'm in a mood right now.
In 2011, they did tackle. Listen, I remember, and I looked it up because I was actually – I had to calm myself down, so I was in the car before the show.
When he had junior and senior linebackers, Acho and Robinson, they tackled
well
that first year.
It was about, and you know what? I haven't looked at it, but I bet they do have probably more experience than we remember all these guys from last year, and now they're playing differently. It is part of that is the experience.
And Gallimore's in shape too. He reminds me of Roy Williams that one year, and then Roy came back the next year, and it's like, See, oh, damn, they got you in shape.
CeeDee Lamb. Like, we've seen CeeDee Lamb last year, and it's like, oh, now he looks like a man. He doesn't even look like the same player that he looked like last year. But remember.
Could you shake his hand after sliding as a wide receiver in the Texas OU game, though?
Hey, man.
Just a serious question for you who had a pick six in this game and played well in this
game. Hey, man, he's got – yeah, I got respect for him. Hey, Roy Williams never even scored in the Texas OU game.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah, you know what I mean? It ain't as easy as people think. My point is, Mac Brown once said it was a – like, tackling is bad in America. Like, tackling is an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. Yeah. I think right now, Todd Orlando, man, I pointed the numbers
bad,
out.
Bad fish talkers.
The Power Five opponents that Texas has faced this year, only three of them prior to the OU game.
Yep.
They've missed an average of 13.6 tackles per game. And I was like, yeah, all right, you know what? They missed a lot. I wonder, because even in the Oklahoma State game, they missed a lot of tackles, but they still were situationally, they beat Oklahoma State, right? Red zone, third down defense. But up against a team like Oklahoma, man, they really exploited Texas in the open field. Some of those CeeDee Lamb moves in the open field where our guys are like diving. And they, you know, and they're not even squaring up to the football, and there's no pursuit to the football. When one guy misses a tackle, he's gone. He's basically going to get 15 more yards.
So I want to
pick the pursuit.
I want to pick your college NFL brain here. You were a very cerebral player. I said that to David Pollack one time, and he got all upset. You don't think I'm athletic? No, dude, you played in the NFL. Yeah,
understood.
Yeah, it's understood.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What were you seeing outside of missed tackles? Schematically, where did he really get Todd Orlando? And we'll get to the offense here in a sec.
Well, I think Jalen Hurts, you know, the great equalizer, the dual-threat quarterback. I mean, what did he rush for, 130-something yards? I got to go look at the box score. But it was, I mean, think about how many just gashing runs he got against Texas, chunk yardage plays as a runner. If you get the passing thing. So I think Todd Orlando didn't scheme up enough to – in terms of spying Jalen Hurts. I mean, you could have taken away that. That was not – I didn't see enough of that. I kept trying to identify, okay, who's on him? Is anybody on him?
There was some backer who was carrying or flagging some guy in the flats.
Very true. You know what I mean? And so I think that's one big one. Tom Herman talked about how they were in man coverage, played more man coverage than they usually do. When you play man coverage, everybody's back is to the quarterback usually. So, you know, once that quarterback breaks that pocket, is gone, he's gone. Like, mm-hmm. he's got 15, 10 yards easy every time.
And Jalen is smart and is a good runner. All
exactly.
I'm talking about is NFL stuff. We're talking about, nothing's changed. We kind of know who you are.
Exactly.
There were two really, I thought, tough throws they forced him to make that weren't schemed open, that were, you know what, I got to fit this in there.
Yeah.
And he did. So I still have questions about that. I've never had questions about his legs, his leadership, or his brain.
Yeah, no question about it. I totally agree with you. And you think about in the red zone, when the field would shrink, that's when he become much less effective.
Right, he turned it over twice.
He turns it over because his decision. Everything's happening a lot quicker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one of those was a really bad throwing back. I mean, dude, where are you going there, man?
And you know what Lincoln Riley does, right? He creates space. All right, on the football field. That's all he does.
Brilliantly,
he's creating space, just little lanes and everything. So he's opening passing windows for Jalen Hurts. They're bigger passing windows with the play action, with the misdirection, and all. You know what I mean? All this is creating bigger. So in the red zone, though, less field. Those windows are naturally small, and that's when I think
you can't put as much air under it. You got to fit some stuff in there.
Yeah, so I think that's when he struggles. But that's what Todd Orlando actually shined a little, you know, in this game, if you want to say that, because at least you got some turnovers in the red zone, and then you know you forced him to a field goal. That's a win in the Big 12. The crazy part about it, as bad as Texas played, and we know this is, I'm trying to think the last time Texas played this bad. When's the last time Texas played this bad? Because I thought it was a bad overall game.
Patrick Davis,
is it Oklahoma State?
Jump in here?
I think Oklahoma State last year may be
game
I'm thinking about. Oklahoma State.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
Yep. And I don't know if it was – but the quality of competition, obviously, Oklahoma is – they legit now. If they got a defense with an offense and a Lincoln Riley, then, you know, I'm not saying they can play with everybody in the country.
No,
but
I don't think they're a playoff team.
Ooh.
From what I saw today. And so,
because they should have blown Texas out.
And I think
probably.
They're a much better team than Texas right now.
They should have covered.
That'll let you know what I learned today about Texas.
That's a good point.
And they may be. They're right around there.
No, you're right.
I mean,
that.
You know,
they should have beat
not,
Texas by double digits, though.
Yeah.
I agree
and
with that.
And it gets back to someone's going to force Hurts to really fit stuff in there. And they're going to have
a make
good,
those
healthy
smaller.
Secondary.
Yeah.
And I'll buy that. But for Texas right now, the reality is, well, if that's the case – we're below that. I mean, OU was more physical. They were a better coach football team.
Yeah.
And this did not feel like seven.
No, it didn't. But trust me, like, I would play a lot of man coverage. When I was on the 40 acres with Carl Boris Hill, we played probably 80% man coverage.
And
we gave it away.
Men play
we
man,
would just
right?
go up and play bump and runs. Like, we know what they're doing, but we thought we were so good at what we did, it didn't matter. We went Bama style. Like, we're good. Deal with it. You know what I mean?
This team doesn't press as much, though.
It's a different Big 12. It's a different offenses now. We were still playing against 21 personnel, two wideouts at times. You know
right.
what I mean? Now
play
they
action.
Got both. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just so I will say that's a different style of football. But I will say this, when you're in man-to-man coverage, you do it. If you're not in a good position to make a tackle, there's going to be a lot of open space out there because everybody's got a man they're on. You know what I mean? There's usually one free safety that may be tracking the ball. But if you're out of position, man, it can get bad. And that's what's happening because they played a lot of man-to-man coverage today.
Yeah.
And sometimes the corners were not in a good position to even make a tackle with a guy in
the
open field.
Is that technique or scheme for you?
It's a little – well, I think it's all technique. I mean, it's obviously the scheme is you got that cat. Just stay close enough to him to make a tackle. And you didn't even see that today. Guys were out of position. So I got to go back and watch the film and break it down more. But that's part of the missed tackle. They're missing tackles. And think about it, man-to-man coverage, you're missing a lot of tackles. And that especially when they start to run, it's a quarterback scrambling or the running back. That's because everybody's back is turned. They're learning at the last second, like, oh, man, somebody's in the open field. They're running. They're out of position. Bad pursuit angles. And, boom, ends up being a disaster. Not enough pursuit to the football, too. I mean, it should be a party at the football. You know, I mean, you miss a tackle.
It was a party at the football, but for the wrong team if you're wearing burnt orange.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, true. I mean, look, yeah. Oklahoma flat out beat Texas today.
Yeah.
34-27. You go back and look at that one, and I think all of us objective Texas fans, and there's a lot of them. It's one of the things I love about this fan base, and maybe a little hypercritical today, but is that it was what it was.
Yeah.
And there's
so,
no
it's
reason.
Sobering. It's sobering. Because we had high expectations. It's very so. Trust me, I've been pondering
not
this.
Not everyone is feeling that here at Pluckers because I saw some serious drinking with about, you know,
no,
fourth quarter.
I thought about it. Listen, I was like, man,
for the program, it is sobering.
Yeah, it's sobering. You know what I mean? The expectations were really high. We know this is after the Georgia game.
And it's also okay.
It's okay, exactly.
We've talked about the overview. If this was a race and you go, well, how, you know, you ever taken like a 7-hour trip and you go, man, it feels like we're only about 100 miles away, and you find out you're 140, and you're naturally for the next couple minutes deflated.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still going to get there.
And I
still believe in this coaching staff. I'm losing confidence and faith in Orlando, and obviously Herman had an awful day today.
To continue your analogy, this is the question. Is the trip going to get better or worse?
Right. Because they're going to be a flat
20
miles.
Now Colin Johnson has got another injury, right? He's got the helmet-to-helmet, so concussion or whatever. He's got to be in the protocol. Chris Brown, I believe, broke his forearm.
He did.
Jeffrey McCulloch's got a dislocated shoulder. And there's another injury.
There's someone else.
There is another one. That before, like early
Craig
on.
Craig and
game.
Roger were talking about. They did a great job, by the way.
They did great.
And I thought.
Those are the toughest post games to do, brother. In terms of how they do it, because you got to be in that locker room.
Right.
I've done that after losses. Man, to go in there, and I'll give props to my man Quan and talk to those guys and talk to Coach.
Oh, they were deflated.
Oh, man, it's heartbreaking. And you just feel for them. Yep. They're basically all grown men on the verge of tears.
Yep.
And you just want to hug them all, but you know they're just pissed off.
Yeah, and Roger's the analyst, and then Roger gave some sobering real takes on that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, like I'll give them props.
Like
they said,
it was what it was.
I listened to the pregame. I believe it was Roger and Quan early on. They said missed tackles are tackling. It's going to be big in the game. And turns out tackling was the biggest issue in the game. You could argue whether it's tackling or pass protection. Which one?
Yeah.
You choose one, and you'll say that's the reason they lost. Pass protection.
And you can maybe add both those and say just being physical.
Well, you know what? I take it back.
Appropriately physical.
I take it back. O-line. Because the running game didn't work that well
either. Tackles for a loss.
Yeah. That's
nine sacks. If I tell you last night that Sam Ehlinger is going to finish with 23 carries.
Man,
was about what you thought.
We knew
now,
it.
Now remember, some of those are sacks.
Some of those are sacks, yeah. But
for
still,
negative 9 yards.
Yeah.
Are you taking Texas? At that point, you go, you know what? I thought it'd be a 50-50 game. I'd go, no. Yeah. At that point, and I did take Texas, but I'd say no. At that point, I'm taking the points.
Something,
I get the points now.
No, I guess something went horribly wrong. And so it's. I think you said it. The line of scrimmage. We all the things that we said during the week actually came to fruition. Just on the other side.
Other side, yeah. Right, exactly.
The thing about all of our analysis, it was dead on, except just picture us talking about Oklahoma. Well, everything I brought up, everything that y'all brought up, it was dead.
Well, it was what you're going to do.
Bullseye accurate.
In this week, when OU hadn't played anyone,
yeah.
And Texas has really played, you can maybe say two, but one, and so they're 1-1 in those games, and
yeah.
They didn't even play great against Oklahoma State. We're still finding out about these teams. It's the beauty of college football week to week. And, I mean, I can only imagine what the Athens postgame show sounds like right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they thought they were 30 miles away from South Padre.
Yeah. Turns out they may be back there with us.
Yeah, no. What do you mean we took the wrong? We're going to Boys Town? Yeah. What the hell? All right. Well, let's go. Let's make the most
wrong
of it.
Wrong turn.
Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, Patrick Davis is the on-site engineer. And we got Brian Fitzgerald back there. Christina Killingsworth has just been literally killing it.
The real MVP.
Yeah, no.
That's
mean,
sure.
we had a great crowd out here, so thanks to the Pluckers people. And stop on by if you want to watch some college football, pro football tomorrow. Get to Pluckers.com if you want to find a location near you, or you can just stop by here. It is Pluckers Link location, I-35 and 290. We'll get to your phone calls, 512-447-3776. It was a 7-point game, but
I want to get back to something you said.
It didn't feel like a what?
The Todd Orlando thing. You said you, I want to get to that a little bit later.
All right.
On.
Okay. Skipio kind of got me on that.
Okay. You guys worried about him now.
And today didn't help.
Okay.
34-27. It was a close one. Didn't necessarily feel like it. Texas falls to 4-2, 2-1 in conference play. This is the Texas Postgame Show here on the Austin Radio Network.
Unfortunately, what happened earlier in pregame warm-ups, everyone on both teams has an unsportsmanlike conduct foul, which means the first person getting an unsportsmanlike conduct and every player thereafter is disqualified, okay? This is the greatest rivalry in college football. I expect this game to be hard-fought and well-played. We're going to play this game with sportsmanship. Are we clear? Are you clear?
Sermon offset to the right, rolling to the right. Hurts looking to throw on the run, has a man open. It's caught for the touchdown, C.D. Lamb. Lamb had started to motion, lined up in the slot, and then cut back to the right. And Hurts rolled to the right and found Lamb for the game's first score. Shotgun snap to Gallagher. Sam has to scramble under pressure, and he'll go down. He's sacked back inside the 20. Neville Gallimore wraps him up. It's back to the 20-yard line for a loss of 10. And it'll bring up fourth down. Play action. Here's Hurts scrambling right. Got a lot of running room. Looking. He'll try to turn the corner. Still looking to throw. And does fire for the end zone. And it's intercepted. Picked off. Bringing it out. Here's Brandon Jones. Jones trying to turn it outside to the 5. Now to the 10. And knocked out of bounds. It started with the Longhorn pass rush. Forcing Hurts to the boundary. And he threw on the run. Ill-advised throw. And there was the senior from Nacogdoches, Brandon Jones, coming up with the interception. His first of the season. Third down and 9 for the Longhorn 25-yard line. Gallagher with a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Sam steps up. He's hit. He'll go down. Pat Fields came in to wrap him up. Nobody open. Nobody picked up Fields. It's a loss of 7 yards back to the 18, and it's fourth down. 19-yard field goal drop. It's about as short a field goal as you could have in football. The goal pushed on the back line. 19-yard field goal try for Burchett. Good snap and hold, and the kick is up, and that kick is good. And it angled inside the upright with a minute 49 remaining in the half, and Oklahoma extends its lead now to 10-0. 49-yard field goal try for Cameron Dicker on the final play of the first half. Good snap and hold. Dicker's kick is on the way, and Dicker's kick is good. On the final play of the first half, Cameron Dicker gets the Longhorns on the board as he'll drive it home right down the middle from 49 yards out.
Welcome back to the Texas Postgame Show. You heard the Viking fence defensive play of the game. Brian, you're gonna hit me with it again. I love to hear it one more time. Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers here at Plucker's Link location. Patrick Davis, our on-site engineer. Brian Fitzgerald is back at the studios, been doing an excellent job all day long. And he'll take your calls at 447-3776. We'll get to those here in a second. Just not a lot of defense. We've had some games where we're talking with Brian and, you know, talking with BK or you, whoever's doing post-game show. And it's like, guys, there's like four or five plays. What do we pick out of that? Wasn't a lot. Brandon Jones with the interceptions, a big play. We talked about two of the turnovers. Cook, it really kept this thing close.
Yeah, the Anthony Cook forced fumble, Deshaun Jameson recovery. Yeah, you're right. If not for those two, even if they just get field goals out of that, they could start running away with the game and the momentum. Yeah, it just never. Texas never had. They never had momentum in the game. It never lasted long.
Not real. No.
For a long straight. Yeah.
You always talked about your pick six, and I remember being at home and just thinking, we're not losing this game with a pick six. Like, you could feel it in the kickoff. It was
3 minutes max
Oklahoma
when we had that momentum. They took it back.
Gone.
And Texas never really had, anytime they had some momentum, it was a sack or something would take it away. So in a game like this, and this is something I want to talk about because Butch had not.
What's up, Butch?
Lifetime
just came by.
Butch had not came by just to speak, just to drop some knowledge on us. And just in that short time we were talking, you know, I talked about the trash. Oh, I wasn't trash talking. Remember the comments earlier in the week? BJ Foster.
You know, Sam Cosmi.
Sam Cosmi said Neville Gallimore. And Sam Cosmi, by the way, I don't think he played bad. I got to go back and watch the film.
Yeah, he wasn't blocking Neville, and I was worried about that. Shaq has played well the last couple of years, but
Shaq,
he's not an NFL
I don't think Shaq played a great game. It was just a twist and all the stunts, and I think that's how they were able to just confuse the blocking schemes, man. That scheme, like I said, of Alex Grinch, he moves a lot of guys around. And, I got to tell you, they executed really well. Like you said, usually that can put guys out of position.
Yeah, you twist them out of a play.
They twisted into every play. And Texas never saw that. They never figured out on offense, okay, here's the counter to all the twists and the stunts. This is what we should do. I got to go back and watch it. They should have ran more. They did run a couple of things on one screen. Couple screens in there, but I don't know. I didn't see the wrinkle on offense, but what can you do?
Some nice horizontal passes behind the line of scrimmage to Devin Duvernay with no blocking and guys just running to the football.
Duvernay he didn't break a lot of tackles today.
No, he was trying to make a play aggressively with some of the kickoff stuff.
Yeah.
But not smart football. You go to Malcolm Roach. I mean, look, Oklahoma was smarter. They were more physical. They were better prepared. They were a better coached team.
That's a good summary. That's a pretty good summary.
How many wins do you get out of that whenever you're on the other side of that? Not many.
You're
lucky if it's seven.
That's
really
true. And they won the rushing battle. Not only that, but they dominated the line of scrimmage, too. So
Jalen Hurts, 17 carries for 131. Brooks, 10 for 105. Stevenson had 6 for 37. CeeDee Lamb caught 10 passes for 171 and 3 touchdowns and some awful tackling, but man, he is elusive. He looks like he's doing the tango out there.
He's got. I'm trying to think of a good comparison for him, but I like his game. His game is nice. It's not. It's just so explosive. Yeah, it's, you know what I mean. It's a great way of putting it. It's smooth, and I think he's going to be a first round pick probably in that conversation. He'll be in that conversation, I guarantee.
He could be. And even though there's a dearth of talent on the defense and Alex Grinch, I mean, it came out this spring that he was telling recruits, we got nothing here in the back end, man.
I remember that.
You know, he's been able to fix that. But where they do have talent is where they really beat Texas. And that's with Gallimore and that's with Perkins in the front.
Yeah, in the front.
And
no
with
doubt.
Better coaching and guys that played more pissed off, to be honest.
They did. Remember the scuffle before the game, right? Yeah. That every player on both teams was basically penalized.
It was the most contact their DBs made all game. I'm sorry. I told you I'm in a mood.
Well done. I think Texas was confident going into this game. Remember, we talked about that. It was like, oh, Tom Herman's loose this week in the press conference. Oh, B.J. Foster talking trash. And B.J. Foster literally said they're not going to be able to run on us. They're going to have to pass.
And they
did both.
Texas came out like the bully because they had bullied them physically, even in a loss a couple years ago.
Yeah, they came out like, oh, we know we're going to be the more physical team. And they were not the more physical team, and Tom Herman prides himself on that. So
he does.
Got to go back to the drawing board. It's a loss. And now, trust me, I was a part of it.
Period.
And they got beat. I've had situations where Oklahoma just beat us. Period. I'm sure when you guys or if whoever did the post game show, they probably were talking just like this after the 2000 loss. Like, I don't know what the hell Texas is gonna do.
I would have been 65-13. I would have been doing post game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we went on later on to become a good team. Still ended up, you know, winning what, 9 games that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we just had really high.
And we thought we were closer to the destination then too.
That's true too. That's a great point.
Texas probably was with talent.
And here I think the Georgia game and that Georgia game and that LSU games this year I think have given us maybe a false kind of view, kind of false perception,
false sense of reality.
About this team. And let's not forget about the injuries, but everybody deals with injuries, so you can't really.
There's a lack of depth on the roster.
There you
too,
go. Yeah,
which is their year three.
That's talented depth.
I mean,
that's a great point.
They're getting that fixed.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. 512-447-3776. You know, it's a big game. If we have our leadoff man, Dwayne, what'd you see?
Oh, good afternoon.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hey,
what's up, Dwayne?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, number one. Remember when that LSU game, I said, I think Texas offensive line is just average, and y'all were trying to say they were so great. I said, I think they're just average. Because I said LSU best defensive lineman was bull rushing Cosby and driving him backwards and beating him, but he got hurt early in the game and been missing most of the LSU season. I think he just recently came back. And then, but I thought Texas line just looked average at best. And 9 sacks, that proved me out. And this is with the same OU personnel from last year everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I say I give Alex Grinch big credit because I think you guys said he's running a 30 nickel personnel, but he runs a 4-2-5 front line. He runs an even front all the time.
Yep.
And they send 4 guys most of the time, but it's basically a 30 personnel running the 4-man front. And I think OU just coached well and scouted Texas well because it's basically Oklahoma State game. With a way better defense for the Oklahoma State team. If you look at it, the dual threat quarterback, the team running wide, they didn't waste no time running up the middle on Texas because you cannot run up the middle on UT's defense with that 4-eye. Orlando is not going to let you run between the tackles. And they ran outside. Yeah. The only guy who was running up the middle was Jalen Hurts doing the, what do you call it, inverted beer and his power reading stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think OU was just well coached, and they had Texas well scouted today. And I think they're just a better team now. Texas next year will have all the advantages. Senior quarterback, experienced football team. They should be the overwhelming favorites in the Big 12. I just think Texas is just a year away. And that's the best Jalen Hurts we've seen this year. But with that defense and their running game, because Sermon was hurt, he was just a decoy, and Calcaterra was out of the game. I think that's the best we've seen of Jalen Hurts for the whole season. But with that defense, they'll be able to win the Big 12. But like I said, I think Texas is a year away.
It's a good call.
Dwayne, I'm about to say, man, you have a lot of good calls. You've been doing this forever, and you know ball. And that's the best call you've had this year. A lot of times, it's like 90% of stuff I'll agree with Dwayne. I'm like, Dwayne! Nah, Dwayne, you nailed that. I got nothing to say. Rob?
I thought he hit it on the head. I think he made a really good point about, you know, the offensive line that maybe we overestimated the growth and the rate of development of his offensive line.
One thing, actually, Cosme did his job. I think he's talking about Parker Braun, who was getting blown up in that LSU game early.
Okay. I'm talking about Cosme is still
Cosme was stonewalling. What's his nuts? Chase on, who had to go to the other side. They flipped him.
Yeah, and I still think Cosme probably in this game, when you go back and watch it, is probably going to end up having played a good game. But, yeah, the other group on that offensive line, I mean, there's a lot to work on. And Herb Hand, we know he's a great coach. He's proven that, but, yeah, he's got challenges now.
So they had some problems in the first half with the offensive line and some of the slanting and shading that West Virginia did, and they're trying to run outside zone, and the Steels are beating them to the punch, crossing their face, and a lot of that was schematically an issue. I thought they were going to adjust in this one, and they didn't.
Now you're going to have – well, now the thing about football is once somebody exposes a weakness – Everybody's right. Like, oh, okay, well, that's what you're doing against Texas. So you better figure that. You better figure out how to block the, you know, the twists and the stunts, because if not, then that's what everybody's going to do. Everybody's going to copy that blueprint. Now everybody doesn't have the personnel that Oklahoma does. So it's not going to work like it did versus Texas with Oklahoma, but still, they're still going to present that same problem over and over again, and you may have a bad day or, you know what I mean, whatever. And Baylor, who's got a, actually Baylor's got a decent D-line, you could slip up versus a team like that. You know what I mean? Or an Iowa State.
It's a well-coached team.
Or an Iowa boom.
So they're going to look at what you don't do well, and they're going to go attack it.
Yeah, so now I think everybody's going to try to exploit that.
Which, to finish off with Dwayne's point, it's the frustrating thing. You saw the counter, and they were trying to get outside, knowing what Dwayne said, that Texas is not going to give up stuff. You've got Coburn and the way the defense is set up. It's going to be tough in between the tackles. But we saw Oklahoma State the last couple of years get to the edge and be able to create running plays, or even passing plays, but running plays, to get to the corner, knowing that's where the weakness is in the defense. Where was the adjustment on that? Right?
No, because last year when West Virginia had good personnel, they were exploiting it.
They did the same thing.
I think that's kind of a natural kind of weakness of the integrity of the defense. So you would think either with personnel or whatever that Todd Orlando would adjust to that. I've heard Bucky complain about he wants more of the four-man front, with bringing Osai up consistently and just saying, hey, this is our fourth man on the front. He's basically our defensive end, our hybrid defensive end, and he's out there, and then adjust the offensive line that way. And that's kind of what Alex Grinch does a lot of the time. He just kind of brings up the four-man front. So it's interesting. We'll see what Todd Orlando does.
He'll run his 3-3-5, but he'll hang someone or their.
You can just have that. You can still have the three guys that are in the three-point stance, and then bring your outside linebacker on the outside to be that edge defender there. But we'll see. Todd Orlando will adjust. I mean, I think they brought out the. I saw the dime, and they bring out the. They didn't play the Star Wars package,
dime.
Did they?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Okay, but I thought they brought out the dime a couple of times. So I think that was on third down, maybe, but. Yeah,
they had one well-timed third down blitz, and I know Orlando can get blitz happy, but
he can.
But I'm with you. Where was the spying? On Jalen Hurts.
It didn't seem like that was a priority. It seems like
if he would have threaded the needle all day, and maybe he is that guy, and mechanically, I know Lincoln Riley's brilliant, but was able to turn Jamie Moyer into Randy Johnson. I don't know if that's just saying velocity, but Moyer was a good pitcher, but you know what I'm saying?
No, okay.
The skill set is kind of the skill set. Then I would have been cool with it. But that wasn't the case. He was an elusive runner, which we've known for 4 years.
That was one of the things you knew going in. Like, oh, no, that guy, he needs to beat you with his legs. If you make him a passer, which I thought they were going to do, then you got a chance to beat him. But once he gets outside the pocket and can extend the play, that's when he was dangerous. I mean, plus you got to tackle. I mean, they missed him. Remember the one where I think
that's got to be a priority.
Joseph Asai missed him, right? And then he had to. There was another one where he has to ball behind his back. Remember that?
And he ends up
throwing. I think it was a third and like maybe 12.
I started to
or
feel
something.
What I did with Kyler Murray when he put the ball down last year, and I thought, we got a chance.
Yeah.
And then when he pulled that off, I thought, man, you're pretty nifty.
You got a Heisman moment here. Yeah.
You're a third string NFL quarterback, but you're pretty nifty. Back to the phone lines, Richard. You're up next here on the Texas Postgame Show. I'm sorry, let's get to Bennett. Bennett, you're up next here on the show.
All right, thanks. I was confused. They told me I was next. Anyway, I hear you guys talking a lot about the defense, and to me, this game played out defensively exactly how I thought it was going to play out, going up against, you know, arguably one of the most, I mean, put it this way, we've gone up against three of the most electric offenses in college football this year, and if you would have told me we would have had OU at the point total we had at them at halftime, and we would have had a chance, I would have said, great. I think the defense played about as well as I thought they would. We missed some tackles, and that was unfortunate. But to me, the offense and really the offensive play calling, I mean, I was watching Longhorn Twitter during this game, and there was a lot like, who brought Greg Davis back? You know, a lot of that.
That was me. That was me. That was my tweet.
I think I replied to one of them, you know, and I think me it's like I remember coming out, like I was at the Tech game, the Louisiana Tech game to start the year, and we ran like nine bubble screens to Duvernay in a row in that game, and about halfway, hey, you know, Tom Herman, Tim Beck, they seen the bubble screen now, you know, they're prepared for that one, you know, the speed sweep. I just feel like that offensive the play calling and the execution was so bad, and that's what caught me by surprise in this game. You know, the defense, I knew the defense, I knew that they were going to move the ball. I knew that they were going to put up some points, and if we had a chance, it was going to be because we made some turnovers and some big plays. That's basically how it shook out. Yeah, we there was some poor tackling, and on offense, if there were a few drops, if there hadn't been drops, maybe things would have gone the same. But to me, like, bubble screen after bubble screen or a speed sweep, like, we finally started running the ball between the tackles with Roshan, and we started moving the ball. We had the best drive of our game. I feel like, you know, we had a game plan, and there were no adjustments made when OU had our number. They knew what we were going to come out and do, and you got to be able to do something different if you tried the same thing five times in a row and it didn't work. I don't think we ran the ball once on the first drive. You know, I mean, it was just, I feel like it's, you know, I feel like we just came out and we were going to run that screen game until it worked. And sometimes that's not how this is going to go down, man. Not against a team like Oklahoma, where you got a coaching staff that, you know, can make adjustments on the fly and scout and do a good job. So I'd like, and the other thing I will say, third down, they were bringing extra dudes. They were bringing the house on a lot of third down. And I can't tell you how many third down plays we were running a slow developing play action. And I'm not putting all those sacks on Sam. You know, they're bringing, after the fourth sack, you know they're coming with six dudes on third down. Maybe not run a play action, get the ball out quick, or have, you know, empty backfield, something that isn't stalling in the backfield. But I'll hear the right pass this week when you start breaking that down, Rod.
Bennett, really good call there. I thought that really a lot of good points, and I don't think there's any doubt, Rod, that the offense can probably take the majority of the blame. I mean, if you would have told any of us, we were laughing here when it was 10-3 at halftime, that, well, I mean, who would have thought this would have been 10-3, and the defense is doing their part. Tom Herman talked about that in the post game, and I know we've gotten on the defense here and probably not enough of the offense. So very fair call there, Bennett, and pretty damn frustrating because the offensive line just couldn't protect. The game plan wasn't very good, and OU was more physical.
We talked about that, and that's a great call by Bennett, because we talked about this versus LSU, that Texas didn't have any innovation. There didn't seem to be much creativity with the offense, you know, in that LSU game. We expect to see more wrinkles and more different play designs. You didn't. It was pretty vanilla, and I think Tom Herman wanted to line up and say, no, we can beat LSU just kind of running our base offense and doing what we do.
No, they got to still be cute.
There was no schematic advantage in that game, and I don't know if there's a schematic advantage necessarily in this game. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I'm talking about for Texas.
Right, yeah.
That was
right,
for the play. So I think that was a disservice to the players. That's kind of the point that Bennett was trying to make.
Yeah.
Like, that you didn't give them a schematic advantage. You just put them out there and said, all right, go out there and beat OU. And OU has like athletes, and he also had a schematic coaching advantage.
And half of their team is now well coached. I mean, we can't reiterate that enough, Rod. You know better than any of us that, man, they can. It's the same thing with Jalen. That's why I like Jalen a lot, but I don't think he's in a starting NFL quarterback because he hadn't proven that yet. He's got a genius scheming stuff up.
If we're also talking about the physicality in this, let's not miss this storyline because this is a good one. Benny Wiley.
I saw
Benny Wiley.
Who was Benny's buddy there? I saw him too, wearing. I was like, oh,
Benny Wiley is the strength and conditioning coach at Oklahoma, and people have been, you know, really championing Yancey McKnight and what he's been doing with the strength and conditioning, doing a great job for Texas.
And we saw results during games too.
And we saw results, right? All right, well.
No.
Just throwing it out there. Don't forget about Benny. Benny's like, don't forget about me, y'all.
Oh, no. If you go down and
I did a good job, too.
I did a pretty good job. Oh, and you know he was thinking about this,
come on
too.
Now.
By the way, Benny, I covered him. I know you know
Benny's a cool. Benny's awesome.
Benny's a really
he's
good
great
human.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He really is.
But if you go down the checklist of everything in the program, strength conditioning, scheme.
Everybody takes this loss. I mean, Yancey, that's you, too.
You would check almost every, pretty much every OU box, and then I'd tell you, oh, yeah, there was an onside kick, and we're down 7. You go, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And you give Ellinger's numbers, rushing numbers. I mean, it
should have been a blowout.
Yeah. And
it should have been a blowout.
I guess you can give the defense credit. Now, the only thing with Bennett, I mean, you know, slow played it a little bit. The tackling was atrocious. That needs to get fixed, period. And too many missile shots. We continue to see that from guys.
Yep.
Rod, wrap up, right?
Yeah. Well, go make a tackle. You don't have to go make a big hit.
Yes, everybody didn't get have to him be down. PJ OU Foster was doing that.
Hit man. Yeah, man. Just go make a tackle. Make a sound tackle. Get in position. Square yourself and get the guy to the ground, all right? Or hit, hang on, and hope for help. If it's ugly, who cares? Just get that. Don't let that. Don't go out of there. Go out of control, under control. They're out of control, out of control. And that, they're easy to juke.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Out of control, out of control. Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers here. We're at Pluckers doing the Texas postgame show on the Austin Radio Network. Brian, you want to get to Nick here, or do you want to take a break here? All right, let's get to Nick right now. Nick, you're up next here on the Texas postgame show.
Hey, guys. Great job. But I didn't get to watch the game. I heard it on the radio. Craig Way and the guys, they do a great job. And I just wanted to get real quick your take on how did the team look as far, like, it was such a deflating loss. Every time we, you know, something positive happened, nothing came out of it. Did they look that way, or did we seem like, no, we still have a shot to win this game? You know, we did all that, we did trash talk, and like, I was just going to mentally affect us going forward, you know. That's really all I wanted to
Right. Hey, thanks for the call, Nick. Thanks for the call, Nick. Yeah, before the game, and I'm sure you heard, there was a scuffle, and all the players on both sides were penalized as a result of it. Texas did have the trash talk of the week, which I thought that meant they were confident, but maybe it was false confidence. Maybe they actually weren't ready to play. I don't think they played scared. They just were ill-prepared, and they weren't physical.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? And that, Nick, it was just rare for us to see a Tom Herman team. Yep. Even when Tom Herman teams play bad, they're still physical. They weren't very physical. And, yeah, the tackling, that's just another result of it, too, and the line play. We're talking about physicality, and, you know, we were talking about the skill positions and Sam Ellinger not having his best game and Colin Johnson and drop passes. But the trenches, man, the trenches didn't show up for Texas, and Texas got pushed around. That's what happened, Nick. We got pushed around. You'll see it when you watch it, but we got pushed around. We got Debo. We got Debo, man. That CD Lamb was out there Deboing us, man.
No. I mean, look, it was what it was. You brought up two really good points there. One, that I'm not even sure. The game plan was bad. It was vanilla. I did not like it, and that's why I sent out these Greg Davis back.
That was a great yeah, take. I wouldn't like that one. That was good. That was good.
And, but... With all that said, I'm not even sure if a great game plan gets anything done if you give up 18 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. Rod, we know. We've actually seen, theoretically, there were good game plans in the last 7 years.
That's a good
one
point.
Or two in there offensively.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
That's a great point. Yeah.
You ever have a chick, like, stop it before you even start to hit on her?
No.
That's what bad offensive line plays.
No, you're right.
Don't even ask me out. Like, I'm going to stop this right now.
No, I said that after the Manny Diaz BYU debacle. I said, man, the game plan actually, even though it wasn't the worst game plan you've seen from Manny Diaz, but they missed so many tackles. And
that
they
you
just
didn't
let,
know.
Yeah, like, they just let Taysom Hill, the Mormon missile, just run all. I was like, I don't know if it was a bad game plan because guys, he just ran
we'll
through.
We'll never
guys.
Know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of that's what is it the personnel, or is it the game plans are that bad? Because they have been
now,
pretty
this was
vanilla.
Both, this was bad offensive line play,
and a bad coaching
plan.
Yeah, this was both, and you still had a shot. Had an outside shot to win. When they got it within three, I was like, I cannot believe this game is this close.
No, it never felt that way.
How the hell is this?
Back to your momentum take.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I was like, thank God. It's close. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but you know what? Some people are really mad because Vegas still got it wrong.
I know.
Somehow Vegas still got it wrong.
A little backdoor cover there. good old Tom.
Tom as the underdog.
Underdog Tom. He's a hero in Vegas. He's done a hell of a job here. And you're right. The culture with this team, since he really turned it, even in the losses, they're physical or usually as physical as the other team, more physical or as physical. And it wasn't close today.
Didn't line up.
No,
didn't look like a Tom Herman Texas football team.
They got physically whipped today, and the coaching staff got out-coached.
Pretty simple.
That's kind of what it is, right?
We did that to what Georgia.
Red zone turnovers kept them in it.
This is kind of what we did to Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. We beat them on the line of scrimmage and whipped them, and our game plan was better, and we out-coached them. And I remember Kirby Smart saying that that's how Tom Herman
and
probably
the score was
now.
Not indicative and of the ass-whipping that went on.
Exactly.
And
if you watched the game, you were like,
was on the other side.
Exactly right.
Boom. Rod Babers, he's the man. We got Patrick Davis here, on-site engineer. Eric Lugo hanging out. We had Steve Foster. We have OU Mark, who's still here.
Oh, OU Mark. Is he's staying late. Her. He's hanging out. He's feeling good about himself.
You know, the only good decision he made, obviously, is he's dating a Texas fan
He's
right
dating
now,
a good-looking Texas woman. Yeah. Well, of course. There you go.
Who is smarter Sooners, than him.
You are smart, man, but, I mean, you're a lot smarter.
But that's what the Sooners do. They come to Texas and take our best stuff, take it back up there.
Take our players.
Take our best players. Take our women. Yeah.
Well, they don't have good kin, then they come down here and take our women. I get it. 447-3776, 447-3776. You can text us, 337-3776. A dose of reality for the Texas football program. Yep. 34-27, Oklahoma gets it done. They move to now 6-0 overall. Texas is 4-2, 2-1 in conference. This is the Texas Postgame Show on the Austin Radio Network.
Blitz coming. He'll be sacked again. Kenneth Murray down the middle was able to get him. Sam unable to get the football away, and he's dropped for a loss of 10 back to the 16-yard line. At the 38-yard line. Now the lineup of the pistol with Johnson directly behind Elliger. Sam with a snap, and he'll turn and hand it to Johnson up the middle. Breaks the tackle. Here's Marsh on the midfield. Johnson to the 40, to the 31, man to beat outside, to the 20, turns to the boundary, to the 10, to the 5, and close to the goal line. The freshman, Roshan Johnson, wrestled out of bounds at the 4-yard line by DeLarian Turner Yell, and that total run is 58 yards. Longhorns go quickly to the line of scrimmage on first and goal. Johnson behind Sam Elliger turns. Handoff to Johnson to the goal line. Leaning over. And he is just shy. No, he's across. Touchdown, Texas. One official said short. The second one said, he's across. Give him six. And the Longhorns an extra point away from tying the score. Set to the right side of the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, with two receivers out wide right for OU and one on the short side split left. First down and 10 for Oklahoma. Hurts from the shotgun, has the snap. Back to throw, flings it out quickly to the left side, and CeeDee Lamb turns upfield quickly and is near a first down. Late flags coming in. Malcolm Roach on the tackle. Hold your breath on this, depending on the hit. As it went right to the 34, and that might be a targeting call against Malcolm. Short side of the field, split to the left to CeeDee Lamb. Ramondre Stevenson checks out. Kennedy Brooks is in for Oklahoma. He's the running back. Offset to the right side of the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Now Lamb goes in motion on second down, and it's a handoff and a throwback. Back it goes, and wide open, CeeDee Lamb the catch. Inside the 30, 25 to the 20, 15, broken tackle, 10, 5, touchdown Oklahoma.
Greg Way, another great job by the True Pro. Thought the broadcast was fantastic. Radio broadcast was fantastic, at least from the stuff I've heard. But Texas did not live up to that on the field. We have a lot of texts coming in as this is the Texas postgame show. It's Kevin Dunn alongside Rod Babers. We've got Patrick Davis as an on-site engineer, and Christina Killingsworth is here. And then we got Brian Fitzgerald doing a nice job taking your calls and making sure everything sounds good. 447-3776. We have some open lines. That's, of course, 512-447-3776. In terms of the text, we have a lot of texts coming in, just disappointing overall. Chris Bennett is being a smartass. You know it's bad at that point. Texas just missed another tackle. Yeah, there were a lot of missed tackles, CB. And then a lot of questions about Todd Orlando and kind of where Texas is. Are we overrating him as a defensive mind? Has maybe his kryptonite been shown and shown too often, and now people are doing little variations of it? And if they have the personnel, we don't have the schematic advantage we thought, and we've had at times with Todd Orlando.
Yeah, I will say I got to go back and watch Keandre Coburn and see. When we talked about that matchup, I don't know if he was a guy that it was disruptive enough either. And we talked about Todd Orlando's defenses. The best one seemed to need a war daddy right there. And, you know, the Puna Ford, you know, makes your life easier, right?
Is Ed Coburn Oliver, not that, though, right now?
He's just young. Yeah, he's still a baby. So I don't think you can count on it week in and week out with a redshirt freshman like him. I think once he's like a junior, then, yeah, you know what I mean? He'll become – even Puna Ford early on wasn't the Puna Ford he was his senior year. And now he's the Seahawks, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think for him, maybe he's been – I think for – you talking about the kryptonite we may be seeing now for Todd Orlando. I think that may be part of it. Like, schematically, when you don't have a true war daddy that demands a double team on every play and can penetrate and disrupt on every play, there's a reverberating effect throughout that defense where you're basically outmanned, because then you got to go man for man up front, and that three down front doesn't work as well when you don't have that guy.
Are we just four down guys? Look, I grew up when the 4-3 was the thing to run, especially in college football.
I remember that,
You were stupid. I mean, if you couldn't get big-ass bookends and recruiting, then maybe you'd F around with the 3-man
before Belichick took over.
Right.
Belichick's the one kind of brought back the 3-4.
Yeah, and I mean, even in the NFL back then, I mean, the Giants and the Saints with those four really good
linebackers,
they'd run 3-4s, but it was a different game. You know, I mean, college football – are we stuck on that, and are we asking? Because we're obviously not asking 4-4-3. We understand the conference and the year we're playing in.
Yeah.
But more of a four-down look to help out and then run your dime behind that?
I've always been like Bucky, kind of, you know, you can go with the four-man front and you can have your three downs. And you can still take the same responsibility of kind of a four-man front period in terms of the defensive ends on the edges and your interior defensive linemen. You just need more integrity up front in that running game. I mean, you were exposed today, but that's an elite running game, guys, too. And the thing about Todd Orlando, that this conversation is interesting.
And it's schemed at an elite level, and it has been.
He's going up against... Man, Lincoln Riley, right now the NFL is claiming Lincoln Riley is the best offensive mind in football, period. They think that. They think he might be better than some of the guys at the top highest levels of the NFL.
Say that again.
NFL.
You and I mean, you got
they believe
better
connect,
but we hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah, they really believe
from
it.
From the NFL. We're not talking college.
No, they're like, no, man, they want that guy. He basically can write his
own
ticket.
We knew that heading in. We knew that last year.
So, for Todd Orlando, I do think we should grade him. We should got to give him some process because, man, he's been going up against these air raid guys and Gundy. And honestly, the best offenses in college football and the best quarterbacks in college football, arguably, too. So I wonder how much of it is just that, man. You can only be so effective versus, you know, elite quarterback talent and elite offensive schemes, right?
Yeah. Like
Kingsbury. I mean, they wanted Matt Campbell in the NFL recently, too, because they love his offensive line. Yeah, the Big 12.
No,
the NFL loves the Big 12's offensive coaches. Lincoln Riley, Cliff Kingsbury
got fired right. in his coaching in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
To show you where we're at with the Big 12.
I don't know, but you're right. Todd Orlando, he's with the injuries, he's got a scheme around it, and we're not seeing that right now.
Rod Babers, always good stuff. Someone texted in, hey, guys, great show. We appreciate that. Just a couple thoughts. Is Ellinger a running quarterback if he looks like he doesn't? It doesn't look like he wants Herman to want him to run, and they're kind of questioning some of the design runs. And then we also had another text coming in here. I thought Sam looked shook. At some point he is, and at some point when you're getting sacked that often, and there were a couple times where almost like he was feeling it and expecting it, and it wasn't there.
Seeing
and
ghosts.
The eyes aren't downfield as
much. You start seeing ghosts.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because you're getting hit. So you know the pressure's coming. You just don't know when. And that's almost like that simulated pressure they talk about. Once you start getting there consistently, the quarterback's got to react to it. His time clock now is off.
Look, Tom Brady was doing that against the Giants, the best quarterback ever. So that's not a quarterback thing. I mean, I think you can work on that a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's also an offensive line thing. You just can't.
It's everybody. Then,
you can't be getting hit that much and expect him to continue to still
be
all the way downfield.
O-line, it's on him. Some of it's on Sam, too.
He held a couple.
And some of it's on the play caller. Once you realize, okay, they can't hold up. Okay, on third down, they're bringing the blitz. Once you realize those trends, you need to adjust. So Sam getting sacked 9 times is on everybody. By the way, that does tie a record for Texas, sacks allowed, with the Big 12 title game.
With the Big 12 title game?
Somebody texted me. I was like,
Gallimore is an NFL player.
He is.
Perkins, we'll see. But Gallimore is probably their best NFL prospect on defense. And he ain't Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh is one of the most dominant defensive tackles we've ever seen.
Most of that was schemed up, man. That's why I say it was like 9 sacks, but by 7 guys, 7 different guys. One was a team sack, and Gallimore had, I think, 2. So that was a lot of it was schemes. A lot of guys were getting in on that, man.
And to get to that, someone texted in, I'm a head football coach, defensive guy, and run a 3-man front. What I found is that you have to move your front every single play. Unless you have 3 war daddies on your defensive line, you can't play straight up, Rod. I've heard that before from coaches.
That's a great point, man. Just to try to stay it unpredictable so they don't know exactly how to block it. They don't know because they don't know what gaps to block and everything. That's a great point.
Someone said this game was on the coaches, period. Yeah, Rod and I are there. Rod and I are with you. And, you know, some people are going to sell quickly. I even got a tweet. I told you, Herman, he shouldn't even get an interview for this job. I mean, let's not go that far. Yeah, let's not go that
far.
Let's not
go extreme.
But let's also be realistic about kind of where they're at right now.
Oh, yeah. Now, college football playoff talk, let's end that.
It's like when
the Cowboys lost to the Saints with a backup quarterback.
You and I never bought that all summer, though, Rod.
And, well, you never know. If they beat LSU, maybe. Yeah, but you're right. Once you lost, now let's start talking about winning the Big 12 title and improving and getting better.
I was telling my Notre Dame friends to settle down. So you can imagine what I was telling my Texas friends.
Yeah.
Look, we're farther out than we thought.
Exactly. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It is what it is, and now it's about trying to get stuff set. Let's get back to the phone lines, and I have 447-3776, and we have Mike who's been waiting. Mike, you're up next here on the Texas Postgame Show.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm actually driving back from the game to Austin. Took my 5-year-old son to his first ever Red River Shootout.
Nice.
Good times indeed. One big observation, and it's been a continual theme throughout the entire season, is the special teams. I mean, not only do we not strike the fear of God in our return game, but we seem to do even the little things wrong. And we were sitting in the obviously on the Texas side of the end zone, and when Duvernay finally knelt, and we just took a knee on the kickoff and got the ball to 25, there was a massive, sarcastic, just cheering going on. I mean, it's just the little things that they do. You can't start inside the 5-yard line on a kickoff. And it's mental things. I mean, there's also physical things, like the Oklahoma State game with Jake Smith dropping the punt. But outside of Cam and Dick Dicker's beautiful right leg, we cannot do anything right on special teams. So while I love the continuity with the coaching staff that Herman brings, when you look at what Lincoln Riley did last year, the defense was a mess. Fire Bob Stoops. Bring it out, Grinch, fix it. Is it time to maybe fire somebody and bring someone in that can really focus on the special teams to get things fixed? Because it's an obvious weakness. And if this team wants to take the next step forward, you got to win an offense, you got to win in defense, and in those close games, you got to win on special teams. And until they do that, I don't think this team can make the next step forward. So do you think they may need to make a change? And who on the staff is kind of spearheading? I know Herman's involved in special teams, but who would be the man out if they do make a change and go to someone new for next season? Thanks, guys.
It's a really good call, Mike. And hopefully your 5-year-old had a good time, even though
y'all be
it's
safe
be one
on
of those memories. All y'all be safe on the road.
Man, that's a great call.
What's your take on that?
I think he's right on the money. It's a little.
We heard the sarcastic Bronx cheer, which I thought, you know what, at least our fans are having fun with this.
No, that's he makes a really good point though about the special teams. I mean, that we've had some bad decisions be made by captains. like really good players like DuVernay and Brandon Jones.
Texas looked like a dumb football team. If you have not watched any of Herman stuff and you just turned on in New York City and let me check this out, you would not think
some Charlie Strong type special teams.
They look like a dumb football team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So I think Texas doesn't have, and maybe I'm wrong, but a special teams coach, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's in the combination.
Yeah. I think it's like, yeah, it's a bunch of different like guys who are doing it, a bunch of different coaches. It's a community effort kind of thing. Some programs do have a special teams coach. Like, that's all he does.
Right.
I want to say Virginia Tech was famous for just having like.
And Beamer was also heavily involved for a long time.
So I want to say it. Well, when Mac was here, Mac didn't do it. Mac was a community effort kind of guy. And I think most
Wareheim
programs
right here.
Huh? Oh, Derek Wareheim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he's got tight ends, right? Is he a tight ends coach?
Is that where they moved him?
I think
Bruce Chambers revolving.
I believe so. Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's a great point. I think you're right about that. I want to say Oklahoma hired a Beamer. I hear him rough about that.
Shane.
Did they hire Shane Beamer?
I know Shane went somewhere. Maybe they did.
Yes.
They did.
He did last year.
Frank's
there you
kid.
Go. yeah, you go.
Well,
so
just another box to check. We've talked about everything. Coaching, physicality, and you go through special teams.
Yeah, he hired a Beamer. There you go. Great call there, Mike.
Really good call. Right. We've had some good calls here. 447-3776. Let's get back to it. Victor, you're up next here on the postgame show.
Hey, guys. Tell you what, Longhorns today had a good opportunity to take that step forward by beating Oklahoma, and the way they played, I believe they took a couple of steps backwards. All during the pregame, y'all kept talking about the injuries on the offensive line for Oklahoma and just how much better the defense for the Longhorns would be. In fact, it seemed to be the opposite. It seemed that the offensive line of the Longhorns were the ones missing players. Don't know what happened there. It's a big surprise to me of how badly they played today. And we all know that in this game, you need to put a little trickeration in there. Oklahoma put in a flea flicker in there, and I believe they went and took it in for a touchdown on that one. You've got a built-in trickeration each time Johnson gets back into the backfield. He's a quarterback. You could use him as a wildcat. You could get him to throw a ball back to anybody. You got it built in. Why don't you use one? You've been also talking about how vanilla this game was. I don't understand when you have Johnson back there and you've got options with him. You don't use them. And why did they give up on the run? Even through the third quarter when the score was what it was, you should have an opportunity to put in the run and let him help you. But you didn't do that. It was so vanilla. It was so disappointed. And like you said, Riley just tore them up. I don't know who was playing out there, but it wasn't the Longhorns.
Yeah, hey, I think you made a good point about the Rashawn Johnson halfback pass. There have been people waiting on that, and we hadn't seen it. It seems like it's a natural. It should be kind of a natural play they put in for a guy like Rashawn, but we haven't really seen it. We didn't see a lot of innovation or trickeration, as they say in this game. And I don't know if they had any wrinkles they were going to throw out. I kept waiting on the 10 personnel package. You know, what I mean the 10 one back, zero tight ends, more wide receivers, and we didn't see that either. We just really they tried to beat Oklahoma straight up.
They did.
Doing what we do, and I think that's a bit arrogant. It's like, no. You get
it. It is, and it's arrogance on the coaching staff,
it is,
too.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's who this falls on. We did have a text. Come on, guys. Dumb football team. Back up the effing bus. Then they tell us to grow up after cussing on a text here. Dumb team today, and that's why we said today. This has not been a dumb football team for the last couple
of years.
That's
the whole point we're trying.
It's a big difference.
It's about Tom Herman's team. This does not look like a Tom Herman team.
It did not, and that's the whole point of the difference that we saw today. It wasn't in character for who they've been.
And that was in, I think they were talking about the special teams decisions and that. So, yes, listen, this team, I think they'll grow up. from it. They'll grow from it. They'll get better from it. Yeah. The injuries going forward, I think, is something. If you want to be concerned about something going forward, the injuries that they continue to plague this team, that may deter any Big 12 title hopes. And I think that's unfortunate, too. Yeah.
I think it really is. We do have some really good texts coming in here. You can see a stark difference between the two seasons. Texas is bad on special teams. A lot of special team stuff coming in. Yeah, look, Texas was bad today in a lot of ways that they haven't been. They were dumb today.
But they got beaten in all three phases. It's rare.
No, they did. They did.
In all three phases.
They just, they were definitely out of character.
Yeah, they didn't win one phase.
And you got to give Oklahoma a lot of credit for bringing that to them and having more fight.
Yes, they did.
I mean, look, all those things are true.
Yep.
So swallow it and deal with it. Rod Babers is here, Kevin Dunn. We have Patrick Davis, who is the on-site engineer. And thanks to Brian Fitzgerald, who is back there taking your calls, 447-3776. We got one more segment here, so if you want to get involved, I would do it pretty quickly. This is the Texas Post Game Show on the Austin Radio Network. It was tighter than it felt. Texas falls to Oklahoma 34-27.
Burkage on to try another field goal. He's hit one today. This will match his season long of 34 yards if he gets it off the left hatch. Good snap and hold. 34-yard field goal try is up, and that kick is good. Elliger from the shotgun at the Oklahoma 16-yard line. Sam ready for the snap on first and 15. Has the snap, turns, back to throw, looks, fires for the end zone. That pass is caught or not, out of bounds, but it's a flag as Johnson was pulling in. He was shoved out of bounds, but I think a flag is there on the final play of the third quarter, which should reset this and give Texas a first and 10. First and goal, Texas. The ball at the Oklahoma 2-yard line. Keontae Ingram in the backfield for the Longhorns. Sam Elliger out of the shotgun on first and goal. Elliger has the snap, turns, and he will follow blocks to the goal line. Sam pushes across. Touchdown, Texas. Sam Elliger following Junior Angulau, among others, into the end zone, and the Longhorns draw close. Snap and pulls it back. Play action with time. Hit as he throws. Downfield. Pass is caught. Inside the 10 to the 5. And into the end zone for an Oklahoma touchdown. CeeDee Lamb. Lamb broke off a couple of tackles right near the goal line and took it in for the score. Cameron Dicker will be on to try a 32-yarder off the left hash mark out of the hold of Ryan Bishefsky. This to pull Texas to within 7. Just under 7 minutes remaining. 32-yard field goal try for Cameron Dicker, and the kick is good. 6:53 remaining in the ball game. It's a 7-point Oklahoma lead.
But we do give Texas some credit, and this is something we've talked about, the culture. It was shocking to see someone be that much more physical than Texas. Texas not using their head, and as we said earlier, just they really weren't in character today. They still did fight, though, Rod, and that's something that's here. I mean, we've seen teams before, and if you followed a program for a long time, there's probably been a couple years you go, oh, man, we gave up. I didn't worry about that, and they kept their head in it. 10-3 at half, it felt weird. And look, as we said, they get an onside kick. For all the things that went wrong, for the sobering things about maybe where this program is right now and the reality, I'm not worried about that.
No.
About the fight.
No, I agree. I mean, you can tell the guys, they wanted it really bad. They just, the technique was flawed. There's a real mistake. I don't see,
coaching and scheme.
Yeah, you're right about that. It was technique and coaching. I think a lot of it was that. The technique on the offensive line in terms of missed tackles, but also the coaching. And that's something you can always improve on. You know what I mean? They can get back to the basics. We know the team is talented. We've seen the ceiling. So
we
know what
they're
capable of, but that doesn't mean they're going to perform like that every game, and that's the Texas standard you got to get back to, right?
Jalen Green and Caden Stearns will help out. They need to get them back, and that'll help out with some of the tackling, that they're 100%, because I don't think Stearns was 100% even before the injury. Back to the phone lines here on the Texas Postgame Show. Bob, you're up next here.
Hi, guys. Enjoying your show. I have one offense comment and one defense comment. On offense, I was at the game, and I can tell you a lot of those sacks were coverage sacks. There was literally nobody open, and so I don't want to blame all of the sacks on the offensive line. The real problem is that how did Oklahoma's defensive backs were on every one of our wide receivers, and I know like Epps is not the fastest guy in the world when he's in there, but whatever it is, the scheme that we were running in our pass patterns did not confuse them. It was almost like the defensive backs knew what we were going to do. They were always within a yard or two of the players. And so I wanted maybe Rod can comment on that, there seems to be a problem with our offensive scheme. People have been talking on the program about everything being plain vanilla. So who's ever designing the plays and the routes and the timing of the routes probably needs to think about how to get our guys open. So that's one point to comment on. And the other point is that Oklahoma, that Hurts was getting wide really quickly when he would start to scramble. And it made, and even the designed run, it made me think that our linebackers are probably too slow. Last year we had faster linebackers, and that seems to be a problem because they were going in the right direction, but they just couldn't beat him to the corner. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Yeah, really good comments there, Bob, and I want to get to Rod here on that. But we did mention earlier, and I know a lot of y'all are driving back, so we appreciate you guys tuning in here on the Austin Radio Network. And be safe. Get there, get home 20 minutes later. Just make sure you get home.
Amen.
9 sacks, 18 tackles for loss. It's not all in the offensive line. Offensive line played bad, and I think they would tell you that, Herb Hand would. But some of those were coverage sacks, and Oklahoma does a nifty job of holding offensively and defensively. Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex, thinks that is taught. I didn't see a lot on offense. There was definitely...
Are you talking about the DBs?
The DBs are taught that.
And, oh, yeah, well,
and our offensive line is taught that.
The Seattle, well, I think I always said great offensive line plays just basically the art of holding without it being called. I mean,
being
some
crafty
are,
with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and some are better
keeping
than others.
Your hands in.
Some are savvier than others at it. But yeah, the Seattle Seahawks used to famously preach, no, we hold and we interfere in every play because they won't call it every play.
Yep, and that's kind of OU's philosophy.
But they're not going to call it every play. And those plays they don't call it, we gain a significant advantage. And yeah, that's just, a sack is a team effort. It's on the play caller. Essentially, it's on the O line. The wide receiver's not getting open. He's right. Do you notice how many bunch formations do we run? Like bunch formations and minus splits. How often do we have guys in motion?
Not a lot.
A lot of funk with our wide receivers. As a DB, I can tell you the hardest thing to defend is a guy.
Bunch. Because you got a tango, right?
Like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, damn, I don't know where the hell my wide receiver's going. He could go in. He could have inside cut, outside cut. Yeah. And I've noticed that Lincoln Riley uses a ton of, kind of bunch formations, and they use a lot of their wide receivers in motion.
Like, that's McVay's thing.
Yeah, like, why don't we put that Devin Duvernay, those guys in motion? Put Colin Johnson in motion. You know what I mean? Put him in a minus split right there as a flex tight end.
Yeah.
And see if the defense goes, oh, hell. Let a linebacker cover him. Really? Okay, cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see. So, to the point that Carl just made.
Why is motion primarily used for at a very small level of football, younger level of football?
Yeah.
It's to see if you're in man or zone. Sometimes you can get a pre-snap feel of that.
No doubt. Yeah, but also you can use it to get guys open. And they used to always say motion causes emotion. And you want your defenders emotional because then they're not cerebral. So make them start thinking. Give them more information to process. So you're right. And it gets wide receivers open. Guys are off the line of scrimmage. They tried to bump and run the wide receivers versus Texas a lot.
They do some smart pick plays. One of them was not. One of them looked like a junior college basketball player setting an illegal screen.
Oh, yeah, the one on the goal line?
Yeah, well, they had to call that. No, I think it was up a little bit. Yeah, they had
they
to
called
call
one with CeeDee Lamb on the goal line, I think, too. They had a little pick route down there with CeeDee. Maybe the first touchdown by CeeDee Lamb?
It was a little pick route. No, there definitely was. You don't get that wide open.
Yeah, I got to go see. I don't see us running a lot of pick routes.
But it was a smart one. Yeah. It was a smart rubber out.
Yeah, yeah.
We've run a couple, but yeah, I don't remember as much this year. So. Back to the phone lines. Roy, you're up next here.
Hey, guys. Great show. Appreciate all the conversation. Enjoying it a lot. This morning, I woke up super excited this morning, and I listened to the pregame show, and I was listening to Bucky and Aaron, everybody talking, breaking the game down. And just for kicks, I decided I'd flip over to the Oklahoma sports talk. And so I found them on the internet, and I listened to them for about 30, 45 minutes talk about their perspective of the game. And it was interesting because they did not seem concerned at all. They were quite confident. They said that the biggest thing that they were, I mean, if I were to summarize, the biggest takeaway I heard from them is them saying that they had to shut down Sam Ehlinger and prevent him from running, which they did. And to me, when you can decide, here's what we're going to do, and you go execute your plan, that is the makings of an elite team. And I look at the Longhorns, and I'm a season ticket holder. We go to all the home games. I don't feel that they're there at that top-tier level, and maybe we're drinking our own Kool-Aid. You know, we couldn't pull away from Oklahoma State. We couldn't pull away at the, you know, West Virginia was competitive all the way through the end. And so I've been listening to everybody talk about what needs to happen, you know, for UT to be an elite team. There's so many different things, and it's hard for me to get my arms around, you know, is it schemes? Is it special teams? Is it motion? Is it talent? Is it coaching? You know, and I'm sure it's a little of all of the above, but in your minds, for UT to truly be that elite team, because I think we're a really good team, but we're definitely not an elite team. What is the one thing the Longhorns need to improve on so that they can, you know, break through this barrier and become those elite teams like in Alabama or like a Clemson or now like in Oklahoma? What is it we need to do? I will hang up and listen to you guys talk.
Wow.
Really good call, Roy. Be safe. Be safe getting back here.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
that's like deep.
How long
okay.
do we have?
You want to do this? You know what? I'm going to try to go straight to
start
it.
Here?
I'm going to try to go straight to it. They've had a ton of injuries this year.
Yep.
Hell, last year, even Sam Ehlinger was dealing with injuries, and we didn't have depth at quarterback. Buccelli, we never played in the Big 12 title game.
So let's start with the D, depth, which gets into
roster
management.
I'll go number one, talented depth.
Yep.
If you have depth, then the cornerback issues you have may not be, in my opinion, so predominant, and the secondary issues. And they have been a ridiculous amount of injuries, so I'm not saying that. This is a lot of bad luck, too. But Oklahoma lost Trey Norwood and Caleb Kelly before the season. They were both starters, I believe. And that defense still looks pretty good. Think about it. They basically have two starters out. And that's how good the defense looks because that's depth now. That's talented depth.
No question.
Yes, they have a schematic
Texas
advantage.
Has more depth in the secondary than OU does.
And they do.
See, which is
crazy. Because even with their third, fourth safety they're on, it's still pretty good. But and getting to that, I remember 2005 Texas. You can say they had a schematic advantage, but honestly, Texas just was deeper than any other team. Like, only USC was as deep as Texas back then.
Yeah.
Maybe Ohio State, because they always are. You know what I mean? Like, Texas was so deep, they had, you know, second-team guys going to the league. You know what I mean? In terms of D-line and the DBs and all those guys played in the league. I mean,
for a year. That's the other thing. So
Cole McCoy was like he was a redshirt freshman that year. Like, you had depth in that program, and then that depth deteriorated over time, and, you know. And 08 and 09 wasn't as deep as 05.
No, you're right. You're right,
I mean?
Especially in the offensive line. I mean, you started to get to where even the offensive line was a weakness,
so,
and you had Colt and
I think
and
that's
Chip
what it is, bro.
Kind
of Ohio State right now is deep.
Oh, I'm with you. I think that's it. But it also gets
Bama.
To where I just said, where maybe one of those guys who plays in the league, and how many years you start at Texas? Well, I redshirted, and I started my junior and senior year. As opposed to now, Herman and them came in, and they had to rob the garden.
That's true.
And so, and luckily, with Okafor last year, they were able to kind of pull that back a little bit. But, yeah, I'm totally with you. It's all there. That doesn't mean that Orlando doesn't need to try and figure out some of his weaknesses and what people are trying to attack, and the same thing for Tom Herman, and that you don't continue to look at your coaching staff year in and year out and say, can we get better? Because we're that
– And he does.
There's enough money there. He does.
They're on one-year deals.
Yep.
So Tom Herman knows, like, hey, man, you better watch it. Get it together. And not the coordinators, but the assistants are on one-year deals. Yeah.
All right, back to the phone lines here. Roy, there's obviously a lot of stuff, a lot of other stuff there. Rodcast, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get
We'll
into
talk
it.
About it on the afternoon show. This is this conversation is not going to end, but it's a heck of a question and a lot of stuff there. Back to the phone lines here on the postgame show. It is Richard. Richard, you're up next.
Hey, Rod, man, what kind of fuster cluck was that, bro? I mean, man.
Well done. I mean, well done. Hey,
look, that was well done.
I'm not going to take a lot of y'all time, man. I'm not going to take a lot of y'all time. All right. Some things are just simple, man. Some things are just simple. If one guy's running the ball better than the other guy, you don't take the guy who's running out, running better, you don't take that guy out. You keep saying with the hot hand. I don't care if you get down to the 2 or 3 yard line and you want to make Keandre Phillips or Keontae feel good about himself. No, he does not deserve it right now. He does not. Sorry. Johnson needs to be the starting running back. I don't care for the rest of the season. Until Keontae shows that he can actually do it, Johnson needs to be the running back. Number two, I don't care if we get beat 20, 30, 40 yards down the field in bombs. We need to find a spy. I saw one play that they spied. I think Juwan Mitchell, and he got lost in the wash, and they never went back to it. Give the man a chance. He got lost in the wash. That's going to happen, but you don't run away from it because you don't let a dude run like that. It doesn't make sense to me. Also, I don't care what happens this week. It's Kansas. If you have to kill your scout team, we are going to learn to tackle. We need to learn to tackle. Yep. If you bring your hands, when I was taught, when you tackle somebody, you hit them face to face, you kiss them, and you bring your arms like it's your lover, and you take them to the ground, or you take them to the bed. That's simple.
No.
So I mean, I have 20 more things I could say. I'm just gonna leave. Oh no, one last thing. Did y'all see Colburn make that play about 15 yards down the field at 340? That man's going to make some money.
Yeah.
That man's going to make some money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm
going
to lose. Yeah. Hey, Richard, really good call, man. We've had some great calls, and there's just so much stuff
to
unpack. I don't disagree with
it. That was a great way to end it.
It really was, nice man. And there's a lot of stuff there. You got to lift with your legs right there, Rod.
Man, I love that. Now I take them to bed and take them. Oh, man,
I'd never heard it go that far.
I've never heard it. That's good. Wrap your arms around them like a lover. Kiss them and take them to bed.
Is there any question, though, that has to be, it probably should have been, but you talk about it and harp on it all the time. That's got to be a priority this week. You got to get that fixed.
I remember after the Oklahoma State game, the Oklahoma game, the West Virginia game, and Tech game last year, Todd Orlando did start hitting late in the season more in practice than he normally would. He was saying, we got to be physical in practice. Otherwise, we go in the game and we're going to be SOL in terms of tackling. Because they had a tackling stretch there. It was kind of it went bad for Texas.
And look, I'm not making excuses for Texas. I think if you listen to this show, you understand that Rod and I are going to be objective and real about this. But that also gets back to where they're at in year number three, not taking over just a depleted program, and then you've got some people that are defecting because you're trying to change the culture. I think they're trying to find that. I think they've been trying to find that, you know, maybe testing a little bit, but find that right level of vanilla in some of these games. There's no excuse for the game plan today. I mean, you, this is when you bring something out.
Exactly.
But also, how much do we hit considering that they just don't have a lot of depth right now, man?
They don't. I mean,
you've got to find that balance.
And honestly, the wide receiver position, it may not be as deep as we thought. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, when Colin went down, and then Duvernay's unbelievable. He's awesome. But Brandon Eagles hasn't really grown that much. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't grown as much as we wanted him to grow.
He's a big play guy, but kind of to see him, some of the other nuances to playing receiver.
Yes.
Starting with catching it.
Yeah. What Rod Beek did not do very well. Right? Don't move you to DB, Brandon. Don't do that.
Boy, it was a lot different when it bounced off your hands and I thought, that's a PBU. And Rod's doing his job as opposed to that should have been caught by a receiver.
Well, I like John Bird, but you don't want to become John Bird.
No.
Kind of a one-trick pony wide receiver.
Right.
That's what John Bird is kind of – I mean,
I see exactly what you're saying.
You know what I mean? You want to expand. You want to, you know, like Devin Duvernay, you want to grow, evolve.
Yeah.
Like now you're like, damn, Devin Duvernay does everything. Yeah. That's what you want as a wide receiver.
He came in stiff and was a one-trick pony.
There you go.
Right now he is doing a lot of things. In fact, tried to do a little too much in this game. And you can understand that. But, Texas, there's just some weird things they did that didn't add up. What it does add up to, though, is a loss. Oklahoma 34, Texas 27. We'll be back to wrap this up. This is the Texas Postgame Show on the Austin Radio Network. Thanks to a lot of people. Thanks to Rod Babers.
Great calls, too.
Yeah, really good calls.
All the text messages. Love
Christina Killingsworth, Patrick Davis. We got Brian Fitzgerald back there. It's been a fun time here at Pluckers. Stop on by if you want to see A&M and Texas A&M. 20-point lead for the tied right now, and it looks like they may be extending that in College Station. South Carolina already upset Georgia. We are feeling it here on a Saturday. We'll wrap it up. This is the Texas Postgame Show.
Sermon, the tailback offset to either side of the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. From the right hash of the Texas 3, Hurts has a design run to the goal line, and he's across. Touchdown. Hurts takes it across, and parted pretty easily for him to take it in for the score. Under 2 minutes to go. First and goal, Ellinger, the snap, he's running to the end zone. Sam bams his way across. Touchdown, Texas, with a minute 49 to go. And the Longhorns once more pulled within one score. Dicker lines up to kick over to the left side of the formation. Onside kick to come. Bounces high in the air. Scrambled and went out of bounds. Well, the Longhorns got the second bounce they wanted, but they couldn't get a man over there in time to recover it.
Cameron Dicker has that thing down pat. I mean, we talk about onsides not being recoverable anymore, and he's done his part the last couple times he's had to do it.
Dicker had a good game, didn't he? Dicker had a good game?
Yeah. I mean, he hit the long
field
goal.
I guess nobody wants to say a kicker had a good game just because he did what he was supposed to do. Well, he did his job.
That's why it's all about team. There are some people that did a good job, but at the end of the day, as a whole didn't.
I remember we were blown out in 2000 by Oklahoma, and Mac said Mac gave us, he didn't dog cuss or anything. We got a good stern, we need to get it together, kind of talk from Mac. And in the post game, he was talking about how everybody played bad, everybody coached bad. We were just terrible. We're a horrible team. Kind of what I think Tom Herman and the staff said today. And he said Daryl K. Royal, the late, great Daryl K. Royal, told him after the game, hey, everybody didn't play bad, man. You didn't watch Casey Hampton in that game. And he said he went back and watched the game, and Casey Hampton was a monster.
Just killing people.
He just could not be blocked. He was like incredible Hulk out there taking on 3-4 guys. He was the only player that had a good game on the defense. Everybody else played horrible. And, yeah, I feel like that was one of those kind of games that if I'm going to go back and watch, I'm like, hey, one guy actually, Rashawn Johnson's probably that guy. He's like, oh, that guy came to play. Should have let that guy play more. And the caller said that. It's Rashawn Johnson's job now. I mean, that's – And it probably should have been
his job heading into it.
It probably should have been.
There was a feeling when I'm watching that of, for the Dodgers fans, as you get ready for your Astros, this is going to be an emotional day for you. Then you got the Texas tomorrow. You going to be okay.
Yeah,
you're going to
be a heartbreak kid. It's going to be something to calm my nerves.
But I kind of had that thought that I did with Kenley Jansen and Clayton Kershaw, that I understand that egos are involved and there's a certain amount of, hey, this guy's done it before. Mm. But at the end of the day, Tom Herman says it a lot. It's how I think we should all live life, and I wish everyone lived this way, and teams should operate this way, too. It's a meritocracy. And
Amen.
So that means that I don't care what color, gender, sexual orientation, I don't care. The best person
production
gets the job.
Who's producing?
Right, who's producing?
Who's producing? It's a simple question.
And right now it's Roschon Johnson.
Yep.
We've got a lot of text on that. If you're Tom Herman, Rod, and you talked about Mac and kind of, after that beat down, what he said to y'all, you don't want to hit the alarm button.
No.
But there are some things that they clearly need to get better at, clean up, and that goes for the coaching staff and the players.
No question. I remember, man, I'm just trying to go back to my embarrassing losses to put myself in a situation because I remember North Carolina State, right? We had 3 punts blocked in that game at home, lost to North Carolina State. Ooh.
Terrence Holt, was that it?
That was a low point. Yeah. But I remember after that, Mac learned. And we went into that week, and we had a different practice schedule and everything, more special teams segments in practice. Mm-hmm. We had I think he added 3 of them. And then from then on, I think we had 4 kind of special teams periods. Went over every special teams unit, and it was just part of practice. Five minutes for kickoff, 5 minutes for return. We did it all. And that emphasis made Mac Brown one of the best special teams college football coaches of all time. And we had a run here at Texas where it was like us and Virginia Tech and K-State had the best special teams units in the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you can learn from these, you know, these really embarrassing low points.
Good point there.
You know what I mean? So I got faith in Tom Herman. I got faith in Tom Herman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I still have faith in Tom. I think he'll
use this loss to get better. I truly believe that. And I could be wrong. But
I'm with you. I mean, I think that
I remember when I Mac think was
there should
man.
Be faith there. But yeah. Going back to that 99 loss, too, the other thing that I remember walking out of the 99 Big 12 championship game thinking, we got to get more talent at receiver. And Mac did that. And it gets back to Roy's question.
And getting, is this Nebraska?
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yep.
And they playing their cover, too. That was the
Ralph Brown
that was the major.
Was
the
corner,
it's not, what did you say, like physics or something like that?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. I remember that.
Right. And Mike Brown, Ralph Brown. And they were able to shut down guys because Brian White and yada, yada, yada.
Really couldn't extend.
One, yeah. And it gets back to Roy's question, what's the number one thing? The number one thing is go continue to get Jimmy and Joe's.
Just get tons of talent. Yeah, you just need to get tons of talent.
And they're not there yet.
They're not there yet.
None of us following it thought that they were at that elite level.
No.
Talent. Now, they showed against Georgia last year, which that surprised me.
Hit the ceiling.
They can play with some of those teams, but they still have a long way to go. Maybe not. I don't know. That's the question.
What's your definition of long?
Yeah, you're right. How many miles until we get there?
So great. You could just be, you know, one, two blockbuster recruiting classes away from stacking that kind of depth. But I remember when I was here, and we weren't there, by the way, but we won 11 games 2 years in a row, and we had a shot at Big 12 title and, could have won, not won, but played a national title if we had taken care of business. But behind us, when I had the young Michael Huff and the young Cedric Griffin, you know what I mean? And young Aaron Ross. I remember Coach Akina saying,
Started to get you going.
We're close, baby.
We're getting there.
He's like, we're getting there.
And then
you know what I mean?
And then you were thinking, man, I got to step it up. Right?
I was thinking like, damn, I'm glad he's a freshman and I'm a senior or a junior because if Michael Huff and me competing at his peak and my peak, I don't know about that.
You don't want that party.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's where you want to get to. I mean, I know I'm just bringing in my experiences, but I remember those low points, and I remember Texas got back to 11 wins, 10 wins, and then got to the point where, boom, they broke through. And I think it's going to be similar. It may not take as long as it took Mac, but I think that's going to be similar.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
I can see that.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate as we close this thing down, my final thoughts before I get to Rod here, I'll just reiterate. Texas was beat at almost every punch. Oklahoma was more physical. That's probably the biggest difference. If you look at last year's game, they tackled better. They out-schemed Texas. They out-coached Texas. They outplayed Texas. They were the better team. Rod?
Yeah, it's really. I wish I could get you some better breakdown, insight, and analysis. But no, they beat them at every phase of football in every which way, all three phases, and the coaches. I don't know if there's anything we won. Was our band better? Like, I don't know. We lost a softball game the Thursday night.
We
got blown out in the softball game. Teddy Lehman hitting dingers. I mean, it seemed like, I don't know what else to say. We just got beat. We got to go back to basics and go back to work, baby. That's it.
That's
go back to work.
Do.
Yeah, it happens.
All you can do. We'll be back at work on Monday. Don't forget B&E, 6 o'clock. Make sure you tune in to The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. And Austin Radio Network. We're going to be doing a lot of
things.
It's
going to be good
this
week,
though. Got to get the app.
Some of your best shows come in losses after heartbreaking losses, man.
And we'll go back and look at this one and continue to unpack it. We appreciate all the text and all the calls. We had some really, really good participation in this show. Patrick Davis, onsite engineer, really good job.
Well done,
Christina
brother.
Killingsworth
was the real MVP.
Awesome.
She's killing it.
Sean, I'd kind of give you love, but you just showed up. So, I mean, you don't get the
He's been killing it. Before today, he's just chilling.
No,
he's on vacation.
He's been doing a great job. And obviously, Brian Fitzgerald, who is the thing, is back at the ARN.
Your woman's
studio.
Blowing kisses at you, Brian.
Yes. And it's about time for you to go see your woman before you
before
you turn into a ball of nerves again.
I'm gonna have ulcers after this weekend, man.
I know, man.
From the Astros and the Texans.
Sure, take care of yourself. Here.
I will, man. I will. You do the same,
Rod.
Bro.
Great stuff.
Fun.
We'll be
this
listening to the Rodcast 1 to 3.
Yeah.
After
I'll be joining
show,
you
train,
guys.
BK. No, you are. And so there's going to be a lot of stuff to get to. Once again, thanks to everyone who helped out here. Thanks to the people at Pluckers. We had a great time, despite the loss for Texas. Once again, Oklahoma 34, Texas 27. You've been listening to the Texas Postgame Show here on the Austin Radio Network. Y'all be safe getting home.
final play come in here. There's the kneel down from Jalen Hurts, and Oklahoma will get the victory. It's difficult for the Longhorns to take this one, but there is the hope that maybe this is only part one and maybe they get another shot in Arlington, some 15 miles to our west, in December. But for the day, the field is taken by the Oklahoma Sooners.